السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن من أزواجكم وأولادكم عدوا لكم فاحذروهم، وإن تعفوا وتصفحوا وتغفروا فإن الله غفور رحيم. إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة، والله عنده أجر عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers, our sisters at the madrasa, those listening over receivers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazal and ihsan that we gathered to listen to his kalam. These ayat of the Quran Sharif which I recited, they deal with a very, very important subject. And since we are facing this almost every day of our lives, so it is necessary that we should listen to these ayat repeatedly. Almost every day I get the same problems expressed by people. Children are not obeying, children are gone on drugs, children are gone on to vices and evils. Children are going to discos, cinemas, theatres, rave clubs. They're pitching up in the morning, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And when we have to say something, then they become very, very upset, disturbed. Then they back answer, and some even beat up the parents. So many, many families are undergoing these kind of problems. So I discussed these ayat, if I recall correctly, some years ago, 3 or 4 years ago it must be. But today I dealt with a case again which was very, very disturbing. And therefore, these ayat came again in mind that we should discuss it again. It was a repeat performance of many things that had happened in the past in many families. We're becoming very upset with what the son is doing, what the daughter is doing. Then the parent loses his or her temper and then makes a decision which is going to make the matter even worse. Instead of resolving the problem, they create more problems. So let us see what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala directs us in this verse. First of all, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, addressing the believers, O ye believers, you have already believed in me, you have already believed that I am your Khaliq, I am your Malik, I am your Creator, I am your Sustainer, that you will be obedient to me, you will be obedient to my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have believed in the Day of Judgment. You have believed in my Kitab. You have believed in Jannat, Jahannam. You have believed in Akhirat. You have believed in all these things. You have believed in my oneness. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is then addressing such believers. He says, the moment we hear, Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Amanu, straight away we should start listening very carefully. That with great love Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is addressing the believers, with great love. how a father addresses his beloved child, or mother addresses the beloved child. Like that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is addressing the believers. So if the person does not listen after that, then there's something seriously wrong. That means there's a big, great weakness and deficiency in his belief. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O ye believers, Inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwal lakum fahzaruhum. I'm not giving you the exact translation or detailed tafsir of the ayat, but the gist and the meaning. Inna min azwajikum wa awladikum, from amongst your wives or spouses, because azwaj is the plural of zawj. And zawj is used for both husband and wife. So it can mean both. But because there's a reference to a hadith of reported by Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala or Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, where a certain incident took place. So we will say that it is possible that, or we can relate this ayat to that particular incident, but the Quran Sharif is addressed to the believers, all believers, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, until the day of Qiyamah. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwal lakum. From amongst your wives, or the other way around, from amongst your husbands, and from your children, there are your enemies. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, from your wives and your children, or the husbands, from your husbands, from amongst your husbands and the children, there are enemies for you. Fahzaruhum. Allah Ta'ala is warning, be careful, be on guard, be wary. Now Allah Ta'ala is warning that there are some enemies. He doesn't say all of them. He doesn't say every husband, every wife, every child, every son and every daughter from amongst them. But they are your enemies. Allah Ta'ala is saying that they are enemies. Now a person does not expect his wife to be an enemy. Does not expect the husband to be an enemy. Parents do not expect the children to be their enemies. But Allah Ta'ala says that some of them are enemies. And you must be very cautious, you must be very careful, you must be on guard. Like how you're on guard against enemies, that's how you must be on guard against such enemies. But then immediately after that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Wa in ta'fu, if you forgive, wa tasfahu, you overlook, and you pardon, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim, most forgiving, very, very merciful. Now on the one hand, Allah Ta'ala says that these children, some of the children, or some wives, or some woman's husband, can be an enemy. But then Allah Ta'ala says that if you overlook, you pardon, you forgive, so then that is something that Allah Ta'ala is encouraging. And Allah Ta'ala says that He is most forgiving, very, very merciful, meaning that if Allah Ta'ala is so forgiving, so merciful, and as we have learnt in the incident, which is known as Waqi'ah or Ifq, where Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, there was slander against her, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala revealed the verses of the Quran Sharif, that Hazrat Aisha is nothing but chaste and pure, that there is no question of her having indulged in anything that is sinful, anything that was haram. This was just a slander that was carried out against the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mother of the believers. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala revealed verses and cleared her name. So one of the persons that was involved also in that slander was Misthah, and he was a cousin of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala then vowed that, I will not assist you anymore. Because Abu Bakr was assisting him. He was in need, he was a poor person, so he used to always assist him. Now he was the one also involved. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala took a vow, qasam. He said, I'm not going to help this person anymore. It's a long incident, you have heard it many times. But there Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, that don't you like Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to forgive you? That's the gist of that verse. Allah tuhibbuna yaghfirullahu lakum. Won't you like that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgive you? So then if you like that, then what must you do? You must forgive, you must overlook. So there too Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is encouraging forgiveness. Yet it was such a serious mistake or error, we will say, because he made tawbah, he repented. But nevertheless, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and imagine how hurt he must have felt. Now here also Allah ta'ala is saying that from amongst your wives and from amongst your children, they are your enemies. Or the other way around, as I said, that from the husbands, there can be some that are enemies. Now here enemy means that this person, he is going to make such kind of demands, or the person is going to indulge in such kind of actions, that it will cause problem for this father or for this mother, for the husband or for the wife, in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirat. Children becoming enemies. Because many children they are demanding such kind of things from the parents that the parents cannot fulfill those demands. Or the parents are not giving those children the proper upbringing, and as a result they are going in the wrong direction. So they have become enemies. For this person's deen they have become enemies. Or the father and the mother, because of their love for those children, they are giving them such kind of long rope, or they are giving them so much of money, they are giving them so much of entertainment and pleasures which are of the haram kind. So they are actually their enemies. Because in the love of those children, what they are really doing is they are spoiling their akhirat. These children are actually their enemies, because they are going to drag them to the fire of Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala says, Inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum fahzaruhum. From amongst your wives and your children, or as I said, that azwaj is the plural of zawj, so it can be the other way around too, so that the women folk don't only think this only addressed to them, that they can be enemies also, the husbands can be enemies too. So you must be very much on guard. It has been reported in one hadith sharif, which, if I recall correctly, it is in Tirmizi sharif. And in that hadith sharif it is stated that when the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu ta'ala wa ajma'in were migrating, when they were leaving for Madina Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made hijrat, he went away to Madina Sharif, and it became a duty upon all the Muslims, whoever became a Muslim in Makkah Mukarrama, it was a duty upon him to also make hijrat and go away to Madina Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because he made hijrat, now it became important, or it became a duty upon every Muslim at that time to leave Makkah Sharif and go to Madina Sharif. My Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Mohd Akhtar Sahab, Damat Barakatum, says a very beautiful thing. He says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he left Makkah Sharif and went to Madina Sharif. So it became the duty of every Muslim to go in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to Madina Sharif and learn deen from him. The Sahaba-e-Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een, they were learning the deen from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the early days of Islam, we know that people were just coming into Islam, 1, 2, 3. In Makkah Sharif, there was so much of torture, so much of persecution, so much of pressure upon those who were accepting Islam. So when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left for Madina Sharif, they also had to leave for Madina Sharif. They had to make hijrat. Hijrat was farz. So some of them, their wives and their children, some wives who had not yet accepted Islam, or the other way around, when the husbands had not yet accepted Islam, or some children had not accepted Islam. So whatever had happened, these children, these wives, or those husbands, they were restraining these people from going to Madina Sharif. They said, don't go to Madina Sharif. Because they were settled in Makkah Sharif, It was not an easy thing to leave your home and leave your city and leave your town and leave everything and go away to Madina Sharif, where you don't even know what they are going to face. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made the hijrat, so everybody had to go. So he says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was giving 100,000 sawab on one namaz in Makkah Sharif. One namaz in Makkah Sharif, you're getting 100,000 sawab. One riyal you spend in charity in Makkah Sharif, 100,000 sawab. One tasbih you read in Makkah Sharif, 100,000 sawab in the haram, sawab of haram Sharif. And in Madina Sharif, we were told that there's going to be 50,000. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hukam was that leave Makkah Sharif and go to Madina Sharif. So not one sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we can get 100,000 in Makkah Sharif, why must we leave Makkah Sharif and go to Madina Sharif? If it had been us, then we would have done calculations. Because we are masters at calculations. Business deals we do, we want maximum profit. So there we would have said that if I can get 100,000 sawab on my namazes in Makkah Sharif, and in Makkah Sharif I can see the Kaaba Sharif, and I can make tawaf of Baytullah Sharif, and I can make tasbihat and give charities, whatever I will do in Makkah Sharif is 100,000. So why must I leave that and go to Madina Sharif? They didn't say that. They knew that in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what is that 50,000 and 100,000? His sohbat and his company, that little while also, was much, much greater than that neki and blessings which they would have got in Makkah Sharif. Because here they would have got the sohbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and there they would have got Baytullah Sharif. Baytullah Sharif itself had 360 idols inside the Kaaba Sharif itself. The Kaaba Sharif itself could not get rid of those idols. It was the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala could have sent one angel and removed all those idols. Couldn't he have done that? But yet, it was a lesson for the people to come till the day of Qiyamah. That Kaaba Sharif itself did not throw out those idols. When the Muslims started practicing upon Islam, upon Deen, upon Sharia, when they accepted Islam upon the hands of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they became perfect Muslims. Then in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when they came to Makkah Sharif, then waqul jaa al haq wa zahaq al batil, innal batila kana zahuqa. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam removed all those idols. So it was again in the sohbat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam when they came to Makkah Sharif, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam removed them. So when we think that we can remove those idols of malice and jealousy and greed and pride and arrogance and all the shaitaniyat that we have in our hearts on our own, then we will not succeed. There has to be somebody that must detect what is our weakness, what is our shortcoming, what is our problem. Where there is pride, where there is anger, where there is jealousy, where there is malice, where there is greed. And then, with that reprimanding, and with that islahi, bayans and waz and nasihat, then if that person starts practicing, then it comes out of the heart. Otherwise the person will live with it till his dying day. But now my mind is going in a different direction. We come back to this ayat of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, from amongst your wives and amongst your children, or from your spouses, there are some who are enemies. So you must be very careful, very much on guard. Because these children, these wives, or those husbands who are indulging in sins and vices and evils, they are dragging the person towards the fire of Jahannam. If he is a participant, if he is quite happy, if he is quite accommodating, if he is also very much enjoying those same kind of sins with his children or with his wives. The wives and the husbands are going together to the cinema, going together to the theaters and gambling dens. They're going together to the rave clubs and other clubs. They're going to the casinos together. Where don't we find them together in haram places? So if they are also quite happy about that, then they are dragging them, because that person wanted to go, so he said, you come with, and they all went. But then again, here the message is this, and that is why I said I brought up this, because we are facing this situation. That what does the father do, or what does the mother do, if they are practicing upon deen, practicing upon sharia, they are trying the level best, they are not digressing, they are not going to those haram places, they are very much concerned about the proper upbringing of the child. But the child cannot be locked up in the house. You can't lock the child all the time in some four-wall building and say, never step outside of this house. That youngster will have to go to namaz, that youngster will have to go to learn madrasa, school, college, university. That person will go to the business, that person will go outside somewhere. And outside he is going to meet up with friends, he is going to meet up with people. Now, if the father and mother have done their duty, they have tried their level best, the husband has done his duty, the wife has done her duty, thereafter they do not succeed, so what must they do? Must they throw the child out? Must they boot him out, kick him out, throw him on the street, say, get out of the house, don't come back? And that is what is happening. And as I said, I'm dealing with these cases, and it's becoming worse. Because I don't blame the parents on the one hand, they are becoming frustrated and tired. Children don't want to listen. Now what do they do? One father told his son, he said, I'll give you such a kick, you'll land straight in Jahannam. So I said, you should have rather told him, I'll give such a kick that you'll go straight into Jannat. That would have been better. So the son replied, he said, I'll give such a kick, you'll go straight in Jahannam. So the son told him, he said, I'll give such a kick, you'll go further than that. Now he's saying, can I tolerate this kind of statement from my son? So he said, I gave it to him. And then what happened? He left house, home, went away. Now when he went away, now another problem. Where is he? When will he come back? He told him, get out of the house. Don't ever come back. So he left the house and went away. Then he got caught up in the drug. Mafia gangs. What do we do? So therefore, look what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says. وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَهُ وَتَغْفِرُوا. If you overlook, you forgive, you pardon, then إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And that is what was stated by Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, when many people threw their children out of their homes. When the children didn't listen, didn't obey, they said, get out of the house because your azab will come on us if you carry on like this. So he said that, وَنَخْلَعُوا وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ. What we read in the witr, in the dua qunut. So it doesn't mean that. It means that if that person has got اعتقادي, that means his اعتقاد, that means the person's belief. If his belief is of kufr, of shirk, that person, that child went away onto kufr, onto shirk, na'uzubillah, or he became a Christian, he became something else, then take him out of the house. But if he is indulging in some other kind of sins, then don't throw him out. It's better that the person is under your sight, in front of you, than that the person is lost, we don't know in which jungle. But don't encourage him to sin. Dislike that sin. Don't give him money to go and indulge in those sins and vices. And don't be happy. Don't participate in it. Keep on encouraging him. Take him to good majalis, good programs. Send him out in the jamaat. Take him to the buzrugan-e-deen, the awliya-e-kiram. Take him to the pious, righteous elders that may be in the society. Tell them to make dua. Pass their hands over his head. Their nazar will fall on them, inshallah, someday they will change. And as parents, make a lot of dua for them yourselves. The mother's dua does not become rejected. Father's dua doesn't go rejected. But what happens is that mother and father, in that anger, they have said so many things which has now caused this major problem. Because when the child was disobedient at that time, they cursed that child so much that now it has become difficult because those curses got accepted. That's why I say that when you get angry with the child, then at that time don't say to hell with you and may Allah Ta'ala burn you in the fire of Jahannam and may you die under the wheel of some truck or bus or in some accident. May you this happen to you and that happen to you. Don't curse, because that may be the time of acceptance of dua. And that person will then suffer lifelong. So at that time I say, when the person is very angry, I've mentioned this many times, and alhamdulillah lots of people are now making amal on it, although they say it's very difficult. But I said at that time, in that anger, just say, may Allah give you hidayat. Say it in an angry mood, or no problem. You are angry. But say, may Allah give you hidayat. I make dua to Allah, Allah Ta'ala give you hidayat. Now, that is the time of acceptance of dua, that person will get hidayat. And that is what we want. So instead of telling that person, get out, and I mentioned that incident, that there was a husband-wife problem. Now, this incident that I mentioned, nobody knows besides me and those people, unless of course the families and anybody else knows. But it is for ibrat and lesson, that husband-wife problem. The husband chased the wife out from the house. When she left, the daughters, two daughters, they said that why should we live in this house? Our father has been beating up the mother, abusing our mother, and now he's chased the mother out. So they also left, young daughters. And after some time, that one of those daughters was found murdered in the flat of a non-Muslim. That's when I came to know. The person said that what must be the burial now of this daughter, because she had left home and it is said that she accepted Christianity. Because she said that if this is the behavior of a Muslim father, then I don't wish to remain a Muslim. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are chasing people out of Islam instead of bringing them into the fold of Islam. That's our akhlaq. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that overlook, forgive, forget. Now this does not mean that after that, if that son or that daughter has done something seriously wrong, committed big crime or stolen somebody's property or anything like that, then too you cover up, you conceal, and you try to praise that son, or you deprive that person of his right from whom the son has stolen. It doesn't mean that. That is a different story altogether. Here we are talking that son is not reading namaz, the son is not making tilawat of the Quran Sharif, yet he's a hafiz. The person is on drugs, the person is on drink, he's womanizing. Now at such a time, keep on making nasihat, as long as the father and mother are in the first place doing their duty. But most of the times the parents are not doing their duty. What percentage of parents really get up for Fajr Salat? Or really go to the masjid? How many of the parents are the ones who are taking the children to all the haram places? The child is 12 years of age, 15 years, 16 years. Namaz time, the child is fast asleep, Fajr time. And the parents say, no, it's very cold, cover the child up. 13, 14 year old child, they say, cover the child up. It's very cold. Now Allah Ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us, start making them make salat from the age of 7. And when they come 10, then even beat them doesn't mean, of course, take a big stick and whip and beat them up. But what it means, that the emphasis that is being placed, although they're not yet baligh, but we are told now, must encourage them to go towards salat. And what we are saying, that the child is already 15, 16, but you say, no, tomorrow morning is school and it's still early and it's very cold, so don't get the child up. Put another blanket on top of the child. Put them off to sleep. And of course, most of the time, both parents and children are sleeping. So then we don't blame when those children become disobedient, or we are giving them the TV movies. Then if they become disobedient, then don't blame the children, blame ourselves. Wallah, I'm telling you, in the masjid, we don't speak all fairy tales here. Now, two young girls, they change their lifestyles. They became namazi, they gave up all their haram indulgences. is not from Durban, is from another area. They gave up their haram indulgences and they wrote to me what they were indulging in. Now when they gave it up, they say that the television, when it's on, then it irritates us now. We don't want to be anywhere near it. We want to distance ourselves from it. So they go away into the room and they take some Islamic literature or put on some tape and listen or whatever other thing they can engage themselves in, because it's irritating, that sound of the television. So now the grandfather, whose one leg is already in the grave, that grandfather says, leave all your piety and taqwa one side. Come here and sit with me. And the demand that he makes, they have to come and sit. A grandfather. And they say, then the grandfather gives a running commentary also of whatever they are watching there. It's so shameful, they say. So there was a time when we never felt any kind of shame, any kind of haya. But the changes that came, now we are realizing that it was haram. So then the grandfather dreams. There is a whole big plate of pork. And he is eating the pork. And he is forcing his two young daughters, the granddaughters, to eat the pork. And they are resisting. That's a dream he saw. And he did not know that these girls had already written to me. And when he asked me, I said, you are indulging in some kind of haram. And you want your children or grandchildren also to indulge in that same kind of haram. We want to go to Jahannam, we want to take our children and grandchildren and everybody into Jahannam. When will we get up? How long are we going to listen? How long are we going to say, still a long life? Many more days to go. Person who is already nearing the grave, but cannot give up the haram. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of kindness, out of mercy, compassion, and He's giving us guidance that they don't throw them out. Overlook, forgive. In other words, be kind to them, try and win them over, try and find some kind of solution to the problem. And if everything fails, then make sabr. Then make sabr, you are not going to be answerable after that, because some nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tried and their wives didn't change. Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam's wife remained a kafira. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam tried his level best to explain to his father. His father said, I'll chop your hands off and I'll cut your legs and I'll do this and I'll throw. He gave him such a beating. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, Salamun alayk, sa'astaghfiru laka rabbi. So he, being a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but his father didn't change. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nobody was so close to Allah ta'ala as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the dua of a shaykh, or the dua of some buzrug, or the dua of a wali? Whose dua can be greater than the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How much of duas he made, and how much of effort he made. How many times he called on Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. How many times. But they just didn't accept. His own uncle, who Abu Talib was different from the others. Abu Talib liked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he also refused to accept Islam. He said, what will these leaders of the Quraysh say if I have to accept Islam? That you became afraid of your nephew's deen, teachings, that you became afraid also of the akhirat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if he failed to change Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, Abu Talib, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had to reveal the ayat, innaka la tahdi man ahbabta walakinna Allah yahdi man yasha. So if somebody's dua is failing, the parents' dua is failing, is doing everything that is right, is taking the encouraging the child to go to the masjid, encouraging the child to go in good dini programs, to stay away from the haram places, to distance himself from those friends that are on drugs and on drink and wine and women. He's doing everything possible. His home environment also is a dini environment. Others are reading Quran Sharif there, reading namaz there, making zikr and tilawat there, or engaging in things that are permissible. So he's doing everything. And still if he fails, then the child is not listening. So then don't throw that child out onto the road and streets, because that child will then end up finally in the prison. Or the person could become even worse. At that time, what else can you do then? Those du'as are accepted. Allah Ta'ala does not reject those du'as. But the effect of those du'as may not be seen at this stage now. Sometimes the du'as are accepted. Allah Ta'ala accepted the du'a of the parent for the child. But the child himself is not interested at all. So sometimes there's a delay. Therefore, immediately after that, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. That these children and your wealth, they are a test. So now if that person was exercising patience now over this child or those children whom he was trying to give proper tarbiyah, upbringing, so there is ajr on that. Allah Ta'ala is rewarding that person as long as he is doing his duty. Now this is what you will see, that some people Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with children, and all the children are obedient. Everyone is sometimes a waliullah. Everyone is pious, righteous, staying away from haram. Sometimes all alims, half kuffars of the Quran Sharif, all in dini programs and waaz and nasihat and khidmat of deen. So that is a great ni'mat from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They must make so much of shukr that Allah Ta'ala blessed them with such kind of children. And sometimes a person has children who are not in that direction, in that line. Unfortunately, they get caught up with some friends or some company that is taking them in the wrong direction. Then at such a time, as I said, take them as far as possible, encourage them, give them some incentives, take them to the right dini programs, talk to them nicely about the akhirat, about Jannat, Jahannam, talk to them about the future, that what will they gain in that kind of lifestyle, what will be the future, what will be the end result. After making dua for them, getting the Allah Wallahs to make dua for them, trying everything, if all fails, then make sabr. That's all. We have to make sabr. In these days, sometimes you have to tell the children have to be called, like how we would call with respect our fathers and mothers. So like that, how I say, eh, mere baap. So the child, you have to say, how you my baap? Although he's involved in a lot of pap, sins. What else can you do? There are lots of people holding their heads and crying. But they will get nervous breakdown if they're going to carry on like that. What else can we do? We have to try, remove them from those areas of sin, change their places, give them the right education, keep them in good company. When we are going to the masjid, then don't say that my son, he will come on his own. Make an effort to bring him. If it's Fajr time, telephone him if he's not staying together. But I'm talking about those that are living in the same homes. But make the effort. After that, if everything fails, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will reward that person. But the person must not go to the extreme of throwing them out onto the streets. Because I've come across such incidents that it's a very, very shocking. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. We can go on speaking on this ayat, that in which ways children can be enemies, wives can be enemies, husbands can be enemies. So many different ways. On the day of Qiyamah, say the destruction of most of the people will be on account of the parents or the wives or the children. That means they will make such kind of demands that this poor person now won't know what to do, so halal, haram, anything he's going to earn to keep up that lifestyle. He will indulge in a lot of haram. So he will get double sin now. One is to earn the haram and then to feed the children the haram. Those that are feeding the children with haram, they are getting double sin. Because on the one hand, they are earning haram. They're getting it through the casinos. They're getting it through fraud. They're getting it through cheating. They're getting it through all kinds of haram, through interest, through gambling. And then after that, they feed that to the children. Now, there are many innocent children. What must they do? They are growing up in that home. Where are they going to go and eat? They're going to go and eat at takeaways without money. And if that money comes also, where it will come from? The father will give them. So he is earning haram and then he is feeding them haram. So let us stay away from haram, because it is going to bring disaster, and it has brought disaster, and it will continue to bring disaster. Haram will never, never bring peace in the home, in the family, in the society. It will end, of course, plenty of arguments, fights, quarrels. I conclude with that same beautiful poetry. Nigahe aqreba badli mizaje dosta badla. Nigahe aqreba badli mizaje dosta badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. Once Allah Ta'ala turns away his gaze of mercy, then everybody turns away. Then our children are not ours. Our homes don't give us comfort. Our businesses don't give us barakat. The government doesn't work in our favor. Nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. And if Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased, then agar ek tu merat, agar ek tu nahi merat, koi shay nahi meri, jo tu merat, sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا غياث المستغيثين. ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما. ہم مجرم ہے، خطا کار ہے، گنہ گار ہے، بدکار ہے، سیاہ کار ہے، سب کچھ ہے، بندے مگر تیرے ہے. میرے مولا، تجھے چھوڑ کے ہم گندے جائے کہاں، تیرے سوا کوئی ہمارا سہارا نہیں، تیرے سوا کوئی ہمارا نہیں. اگر ایک تو نہیں میرا تو کوئی شے نہیں میری، جو تو میرا تو سب میرا، فلک میرا، زمین میری. او مائی بلاوڈ اللہ، مائی رحیم اللہ، مائی کریم اللہ، مائی موسٹ فورگیونگ اللہ، موسٹ کمپیشنٹ اللہ، موسٹ لونگ اللہ، موسٹ کیئرنگ اللہ، موسٹ ٹالرنٹ اللہ، موسٹ کائنڈ اللہ، موسٹ جنرس اللہ، most compassionate Allah, most beautiful Allah. Ha, very Allah, come into our hearts. Ya Allah, we have kept no place in our hearts for you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have given our hearts to everything except to you and your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But my beloved Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed. Ya Allah, we have given our hearts to film actors and actresses. Ya Allah, so many of them indulge in nothing but zina, drinking, gambling, all kinds of haram, and we have got love for them in our hearts. Ya Allah, we have got love in our hearts for so many different kinds of movies, television programs, cinemas, theaters, gambling dens, rave clubs. Ah, Mere Allah, what have we made of our hearts? Tere saamne hum haath phailaye hue. May Allah become ours and make us yours. Become ours and make us yours. Forgive our major sins and minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. Sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, forgive us, our parents, wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members and ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, those whose children or family members have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, give us, give our children, give the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam hidayat. Ya Allah, lead us along in the right direction. Take us, my beloved Allah, take us on the path that leads to you, the road that leads to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the road that leads to Jannat, the road that leads to the best of dunya and akhirah. Distance us, my beloved Allah, from everything that is sinful, everything that is haram, everything that is displeasing to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and best of akhirat. Those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa from all sicknesses, ailments and diseases. Cure us from all our spiritual ailments and physical ailments. Whosoever is sick and ailing, so many have undergone operations, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, give them complete shifa. We know that sometimes sicknesses, diseases, poverty, weakness can be a rahmat. But we are extremely weak, don't test us, my beloved Allah. Bless us all with good health, with prosperity. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove the difficulties. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Ya Allah, bless them with pious children. Those who have got children, my beloved Allah, in these times of fitna, my beloved Allah, make their children righteous, obedient, pious. Coolness of the eyes of the parents, sadqah jariyah for the parents. Distance them from haram. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, we are turning towards you. There is no one for us besides you. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, or any kind of haram action. When the time of our departure comes from this world, my beloved Allah, take us to Madina Tayyibah. At the Rosa Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah. Let our souls depart. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. Ya Allah, all the goodness that he asked for the ummah, bless the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, Ya Allah, protect us, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hame deen bhi de aur dunya bhi de. Dunya aur akhirat ki balaiyo se mala mal farma de. My beloved Allah, we have raised our heads before you. You are well aware of the desires, the wishes, the aspirations that are in the hearts of the people who have raised their hands before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, fulfill all their good wishes, desires and aspirations. And Ya Allah, you are well aware of each and every individual's difficulties, problems, hardships, tests and trials. Ya Allah, whosoever has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night, Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, hardships and problems. Ya Allah, unki pareshaniyon ko dur kar de. Unki pareshaniyon ko dur kar de. Unki musibaton ko dur kar de. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of parents and children, brothers and sisters, family members and ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.